for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday evening, December the 31st, 2009. Clement Humbart is the speaker of the evening, with some teaching followed by a communion service.
So, Brother Clement, you're going to get a little more time. Thank you. Thank you.
Now there abideth these three: faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. God is a God of love. John 3:16 is a main scripture to anchor our eternal souls in this great time of transition all around the world. Stay anchored to the Great Commission with what you do. Don't stand at the beam of judgment of Christ with an armload of leaves. Paul wrote and said that every man's work will be tried by fire. Only what is done in God's Spirit at God's time is the only eternal thing that we have.
Amen.
All of the rest is going to be destroyed. You say, bless God, I'm not going to stand the judgment. I beg your pardon. You might not stand at the great judgment, but every believer will stand at the bema judgment of Christ. In ruins all over the Mideast, Michelle Reagan there has lived over there in Israel for the last year or so, and even before, but this last time. Then the ruins that you find are all over the old Roman Empire and up at Corinth and other places. The guide will tell you. Now, this was the main street, and then usually there's a high platform, and it's public. And they say that's the bema. When you leave this earth, individual believers evidently, one of the main things going to happen to you, you'll be judged by Christ. And if any man builds upon any other foundation than Jesus Christ, seeing what is not of faith is sin. Don't be guilty of working in a religious organization and like Sunday say, oh God, I wish I didn't have to go and teach that Sunday school class. Let me tell you something. You ought to just stay home.
Amen.
Be better off.
Amen.
Just stay home. I don't want to stand there with an armload of leaves. I don't know about you. I don't want to see angels weep as everything I've done, and it's been a price. Even some of the best Christians that they know, if they have known what my family and then what I have been through, you wouldn't believe me. I'd have to get I'd have to say, well, I'll prove this by two or three witnesses. Have you ever been so tired in the work of God? The body grows weak and the spirit grows numb. Ira Stanford wrote a beautiful song. Well, he wrote Mansion Over the Hilltop and I Don't Know About Tomorrow and a lot of songs. But one of them that really gripped my heart in the late 70s and early 80s, it said, I traveled down a lonely road and no one seemed to care. The burden on my weary back had bowed me to despair. I oft complained to Jesus how folks were treating me. And then I heard Him say so tenderly, My steps were all so weary upon the Calvary road. The cross became so heavy, I fell beneath its load. Be faithful, weary pilgrim. The morning I can see. Just take up your cross and follow close to me. The second verse, if I can remember it, he said, I worked so hard for Jesus. I often boast and say, I've sacrificed a lot of things to walk the pilgrim way. I gave up fame and fortune, and I'm worth a lot to thee. And then I hear him say so tenderly, I left the courts of heaven and counted all but loss. My hands were nailed in anger upon a cruel cross. So be faithful, weary pilgrim. The morning I can see, just take your cross and follow close to me. God is a God of love. His majesty reaches out through this whole universe. His glory covers this earth. Over there, the awesome glory, the last book that I've written, I give dozens of scriptures that God's glory covers this earth, and that all flesh shall see the glory of God. Did you hear it? The same Bible said the Spirit of God will be poured out on all flesh, said all flesh shall see the glory of God. When God created man, He created him and crowned him with honor and glory. Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, and it was a big sky dome praise and worship center. They were clothed with the Shekinah glory of Almighty God. Light shone out of them. They didn't even need clothes until sin came in. And Psalms 8 chapter speaks of this and said that God not only crowned them with honor and glory, Hebrews 2nd chapter, same thing. It said that God put man in dominion, and He put all things under His feet. We don't see yet, Hebrews said, all things under His feet. I have mentioned God's enemies are our enemies. Jesus Christ put sin underfoot. Can you say amen? Amen? You and I and the body of Christ as believers got to put sin under feet. Amen. Keep it under feet. Well, you know, God let this temptation come in my life. You're lying. The Bible said God tempts no man to sin. That man sins when he's drawn away after his own lust. When lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. Sin, it is finished, brings forth death. Now that's God's Word. Christ was tempted in all manner of sin like we are, but yet without sin. So, man had honor and glory. And one of the biggest errors of New Testament Christianity for 2,000 years, this loving God sent forth His Son, and God so loved the world, and we know that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But we've been cheated out of the glory of God. Two chimney corner scriptures, and then one misinterpreted scripture in the New Testament. In Isaiah 42 and Isaiah 46, God said, I will not give my glory to another. He didn't say man. He said to another. Read the rest of the verse. It said, I will not give my glory to another. These idols of stone and wood is not going to receive any glory. It has nothing to do with New Testament believers. Then, go four chapters later in Isaiah and read the whole chapter. He said, I've called my people Israel. They've been stubborn. They've been rebellious. They've turned their back on me. But you know what he said? In the middle of that chapter. But I'm not going to give my glory to another. He's talking about the nations. It's too late in the game to pick up another people. He promised Abraham and the children of Israel. And we are grafted in, of course. That's an entirely different subject. But look, he said, it's too late. I'm not going to take one of these heathen nations and start all over and have my glory with them. Someone say, but Brother Clement, God said in the New Testament, don't let any man glory before the Lord. It did not. Get your concordance and read what that said. It said, don't let any man boast. Boy, we don't boast before God. We bow in humility before Him. But Jesus said, Father, John 17, chapter, the glory I had before the foundation of the world, return it to me. And thank you, Lord. But He said, I finished the work. Then He told what He did. He said, I've revealed the name. It wasn't Jehovah God. It wasn't Father. He said, I revealed the name to my brethren. I spoke on this the other morning, Monday morning. He said in Exodus 3:14 to Moses, I am that I am, and this is my name forever, and remembrance of me. And in the Gospel of John 8, chapter, they said, you have seen Abraham, you're not 50 years old. He said, before Abraham was, I am. He said in John 8, 24, if you don't believe, I am. Didn't say he, that's been added by man. If you don't believe I am, you'll die in your sins. Jesus Christ is the great I am. That's why the religious leaders finally consented, one of the main reasons, they consented to put Him to death. His claiming to be the great I am in the flesh. They said, you make yourself equal with God. In other words, you make yourself God. He said, though, you'll die in your sins. 4 verses later, He said, when the Son of Man is uplifted, you'll know that I am the great I am. And before Abraham was, I am. And He said, Father, I thank You for giving that glory. In John 17, 22, He said, I give that glory to My disciples, My Lord and My God. John 17, 22. Religious tradition and all has kept the glory of God. See, God's not finished yet. God's still on the throne. In the sovereignty of God, I want you to cheer up. The greatest move of God is just ahead. This is in the sovereignty of God. God will have people praying and cry out to God, but that's not going to bring it. It's in the sovereignty of God. God's going to send it. If every one of us went back in the world, God forbid, and every church closed, and every minister started selling insurance and used cars, God is still going to visit this world one more time. And it'll be the greatest move, and it'll probably be a quick work. God's not through yet. And I'll tell you something else. The church is not the ultimate, the greatest, and great thing that God's doing. There's something beyond the church. Read Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, verse 19 through 22. He speaks there of the body of Christ, but He said there's a foundation, and Christ is that foundation. And He said every bit of the foundation is fit together. And it said it groweth. Listen at it. It groweth unto a holy temple for the habitation of God. Amen. The Shekinah glory of God, where God the Father is, there's always the Shekinah glory of God. Are you ready for it? Or you want to tie in an old, dead, dry religion? Pray for me, I'm trying to hold out. Let go and let God have His way. Lift your hand with me. Say the doxology of the Lord's Prayer, and that is, for Thine is the kingdom. For Thine is the power. For Thine is the glory. Now, say, Mine is the kingdom. Mine is the power. And Mine is the glory. Oh, Brother Clem, that's blasphemous. Is it? Jesus said in Luke 12, read verse 32 through 36, He said this, Fear not, little flock. I give unto you what?
Kingdom.
The kingdom. Romans 14:17 said, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, if I perform miracles by the finger of God, the kingdom of God has come nigh thee. Every time God heals and performs a miracle here, that's the kingdom of God. And He said, you little flock, I turn it all over to you. You have the kingdom. We're not talking about sweet by and by. We'll eat pie in the sky. We're talking about right now. Walking as overcome believers with sin underfoot. Sickness, disease underfoot. All demon power underfoot. When the devil sticks his nose on something, don't call 411 prayer partners and say, I want you to fast and pray. You first take authority. You say, foul, evil devil, get after him. Every time you get up, he ought to say, my God, here she comes again. And he ought to take off. Demons of hell. Now there are times when you need help. Don't be too independent, too stubborn, too independent. If you need help, go and get help from someone. Especially a tried and proven ministry. And God will help you. But sin, sickness, disease, demon power underfoot, fear underfoot. You know, we've had 4 to 21 people come through Hot Springs the last 5 weeks every day. And we minister to them. We don't advertise. We don't tell them where we are. We don't tell them where... Am I telling the truth, Cheryl? Am I telling the truth, Francis? Am I telling the truth, Terry? And sometimes we're right in the middle and it's time the service begins out here. But I don't leave what God is doing and He's not through to run and listen to speakers. I like to listen. I'd be here every service. And especially when I'm by the Carl there. We like to hear him, and I like Brother Pittman. But we couldn't get here. We're in the middle of ministry. And people have driven over icy roads, and some of them have flown in, and some of them drive in for hours. But one of them said, and God bless this dear lady, she said, well, Isaiah said the sevenfold spirit, and said, oh God, we want that spirit of fear. The sevenfold spirit in Isaiah says the spirit of wisdom is upon Christ and it should be upon the church. And it bestows in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the gifts of the Spirit. That particular spirit bestows the gift of wisdom. You say, well, Brother Clement, you got me mixed up. I'm not mixing you up. It's your ideas of the Word of God that you can't prove by the Word of God. Read Revelation 1:5 through Revelation 5:6 and you'll find time and time again it says the seven spirits, the seven Holy Spirits of God. I didn't write the book. I just try to preach it and live it. I believe in the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is a sevenfold spirit. How many believe in the Shema? Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is three gods. No, what did it say? It said the Lord thy God is one God. You say, but wait, there's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Don't get down in the natural. Just believe God. Don't try to figure it out. The Bible said the spirit of wisdom be upon him. Said the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, and the spirit of might. Number 5, the spirit of knowledge. Then it said, it's a characteristic of the branch, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. It didn't say, and the spirit of fear. God hath not given us, 2 Timothy, what, 1:10? 1:7. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power, love, and sound mind. It is a characteristic of the branch it's talking about. It said there that the spirit of knowledge rests upon him, and his character will have a reverence, a respect. That's what that word fear means there, of God. It's a characteristic of the branch in his response to the Holy Spirit. But he said, he shall not judge at the sight of his eyes or hearing of his ears. That explains itself. We don't walk by sight or hearing. The Bible said we walk by faith.
Amen.
It's hidden. See, much of God's Word is hidden to the casual observer. You've got to dig in and read and wait upon God. And what God reveals is always true. And you will be able to substantiate it with the Word of God.
Amen.
All right. Then it said, this is hidden, the seventh spirit. It said, with equity, he shall, King James, he shall judge the meek of the earth. Look up all the words. And it goes back to the Hebrew words that mean love. The seventh spirit is love. That is the spirits. Now, from wisdom, the New Testament church, 1 Corinthians 12 chapters, the gift of wisdom. From understanding is the discerning of spirits. From counsel is prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. When you speak in tongues, a language given of God, it's the particular, it's the Holy Spirit, but it's the particular spirit of counsel. The fourth spirit is the spirit of mind. It bestows miracles and, plural, gifts of healing. The sixth spirit, the spirit of faith, Paul said, bestows the gift of faith. You say, well, wait a minute, Clement. You said there were seven. That's right. What did Paul say? He said, the gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12 chapter. He gets down to verse 28. Are all apostles? In the original Greek, it's M-E. It's emphasized. Like we underline something and put an exclamation mark. In the Greek, he answers it. He says this. Are all apostles? No! Are all prophets? No! The M-E is there. Now, with all due respect to people in the kingdom of God and the books that are written, they say, we want all of God's people to be prophets. And it's spread across America. And I went to one rally and there's over 4,000 people there. And boy, I never saw such strutting around and little peacocks that wasn't dry behind the ear saying things that were not true to God's Word. And then standing there and bestowing prophecy to all of the church staff. Then a few selected people with money that I knew for years in that congregation. I'm not speaking of rare. God didn't call everybody to be a prophet. Paul said, are all prophets? M-E, no. Are all workers of miracles? M-E, no. And he said, do all speak in tongues? He said, M-E, no. He said, I show you a better way. We say, well, bless God, what could be better? Remember, the Bible originally wasn't written in chapters or verses. It just kept on, from chapter 13, it just kept reading and said, I show you a better road. Not to do away with these things, but he said, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels. Boy, that's pretty high, isn't it? And I have not what?
Love.
I'm a tinkling brass, or brass, a tinkling cymbal. You're a bag of old tin, rusty tin cans on the back alley waiting for the junk man to pick up. He said, if you don't have love. He said, though I understand all mysteries. My Lord. Bring the big charts out and I show you the Antichrist and the tenfold kingdom. And man, you leave here with the hair standing on your head and say, my Lord, look at that, where we are in prophecy. It said, though I do all that and have not love, I'm nothing. And boy, when God calls you nothing, you're a big fat zero. And you know what? He said, if I have the gift of prophecy, I understand all mysteries, knowledge, I have all faith, I could remove mountains.
Wow.
The whole world run after you, wouldn't he? He said, and have not love, I am nothing. Bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Now, someone's trying to tell me that my time is up. Yes, it is. All right. The greatest compliment, if God takes you home to glory, first of all, if you're above 50 years old, forget the calendar age. You hear me? Don't talk age all the time. You have a spiritual age, a physical age, a mental age, an emotional age. You ought to grow up in all of them. And you have a calendar age. Make it last. You don't care. Moses is 120 years old and he's still strong. God said a certain generation rise and they won't pass away. They'll stay here until the end. The resurrection of power keep you going. And oh, I wish I had a little time. I was going to speak of eternal life and immortality. See, we have eternal life, but I can prove the Word of God that God promises immortality from His Word. That means you just live death. Death is already conquered. You say live forever, well, you call it what you want to, but from God's Word, I don't describe it that way, but it is in God's Word. But the greatest compliment, if God takes you home and they put a little marker, say, here lies Clement Humbard. I don't expect it. Or here lies Dr. David. And if they could actually say it and say, a man or woman of love. And if it were true, that's the greatest compliment you could go out in eternity with. Better than being president of the United States, an army general. Here lies a person of divine love. In John, 1 John 4th chapter, it speaks after trying the spirits. It said, God is love and you love one another. Did you not know if you're a believer and don't love one another, you're in danger of hell fire? Read the epistle of John. 5th chapter said, everyone that's born of God loveth. For God is love and you love everybody else that is born of God. Amen. If you can't stand me, I'm not your problem. That chapter also, or in 1 John, it said, and it turns, you can't stand another brother, turns it and said, it's hatred, and if you hate your brother, you're a murderer, and no murderer has eternal life, the Bible says, within them. Now, Jesus said, love your enemies. He said, by this all men will know you're my disciples because you speak in tongues. No. Because you know how to dance. I know how to praise God. Because you're Baptist, Methodist, Pentecost, Nickel Cost, Quarter Cost, something else. No! He said, by this shall all men you know you're my disciples. Because you have love one for another. And there it said in the 4th chapter, 1 John, God is love, God is love. And in 17th verse, middle of it, it said, as He is who? God. God is God. Love. It said, so are we in this present world. Love does what? Loves. And here in the chapter of 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, read it tonight. And it tells what love does. People say, well, that's the love of God. No, that is you when you become love with God. Love loves. And it said, love believeth. Love doesn't believe, you believe. So these things are true. And God is love, and everyone that's born of God loveth, for God is love. Now we're going to take midnight communion. The way the light shines on this, yes, good, fine. There are three ordinances that's left for New Testament believers. Someone tell me, help me. What are they? What? Fasting, what else? Water baptism, what else? Holy Communion. Jesus took His disciples, you know the story, and He changed the Jewish festival to what we call the Lord's Supper. Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter, I received this from the Lord. Jesus appeared to him and told him all these things. Said in the same night that He is betrayed, He took and break bread and gave it to His disciples and the fruit of the vine. And there it said, don't let a man take this unworthily. That primarily meaning there is with take it with due respect. All of us are unworthy of blessings of God. But He bids us come often as you take this. Some believers take it every day. Some of them have to take it alone. Or they take it with a member of their family. The Lord's Supper. You say, well, I'd like to get some things straightened out. No. Come in faith and say, Lord, I'm going, with your help, I'm going to straighten things out. I'll go and ask someone to forgive me. Or I'll do this or that or the other. Or Lord, the Bible said, lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. In the temple in Ohio, for many years, I invited sinners to take the Lord's Supper. If they are convicted of their sins and want to repent, then join us. It ought to be a soul-saving with explanation. And I didn't know that John Wesley... I never read it anywhere. And in the last few years, I've read that John Wesley did the same thing. He'd invite sinners to become saved that moment. So none of us are worthy, but I want this to be a memorial time. I want God to do another great work. How many could stand one more work of God? And I'll tell you, it's like you say, well, this camp's been wonderful. Let's let God bread the nail on the other side. So, brother, if you would come, and who else is coming with us? Now, he said, take it with respect because many have taken it unworthily and many are sick and weak and many of them are asleep. That's a New Testament term for death. It's between you and the Lord, not the church, not the minister. And I see that time has escaped. We're going to do it a little bit different and have you come up one by one. But now, to keep up with the time, there's nothing wrong. We're just going to serve you right where you are. We'll all partake of the bread and the cup. Then we'll, unless you're led differently, we'll all take it together at the same time. Now, Jesus plainly told us that this bread is a symbol of His bruised, broken body. Notice there's two elements. Through the wine is a symbol of His precious, incorruptible, sinless blood for the forgiveness of sins. The bread in itself is not forgiving of sins. I don't limit God, but I said in itself. See, it said not discerning the Lord's body, not making a difference in the wine, the cup, and the bread. Ms. Armstrong, down at the old Gospel Temple, my dad's church many years ago, in a serious car wreck. The Armstrongs had the first big motor court out on East Grand. She is on crutches after this. And my dad explained the Lord's Supper. She came up and guess what? She walked out completely free. Completely free. I've seen, this is a healing service. And you say, well, what about the sin question? All right. Right quickly, listen. Psalms 103. It said, God has taken our sins away from us. That's when we confess them to God. As far as the east is to the west. Aren't you glad He said east to the west, not north to south? That'd be only 13,000 miles. See, you go north and over the North Pole, then you're going south. Then the South Pole, then you're going north. So that'd be 1,300 miles, or 1,000 miles. But He said, far as the east and west, they never meet. Then in Micah, and two or three other scriptures, it said God takes our sins when we repent of them and bury them in God's sea of forgetfulness. You've heard Catherine Kuhlman say it. She said that when she stands there before the beam of judgment seat of Christ, she'll probably be worried about the greatest sin in her life. Maybe before she's a Christian. And she says, well, what about this sin? And angels shake their head. And she says, and I'll say, Lord, what? He said, it never happened.
I can't remember.
Hear it? It never happened. God's sea of forgetfulness. When God wipes something out of forgetfulness, another way of saying, your worst sin. If you have confessed it and quit the sinning business and turned, oh Lord, to God, angels and God would say, it never happened, honey. It never happened. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Father, these sacred emblems, may every one of us in fear and trembling partake. You invite us to, and I pray that sins will be forgiven. I pray that the healing virtue of Christ will flow and give us not just healing, but divine health. In Jesus' name, bless them, Lord. In Jesus' name, please hold the bread just briefly, and we'll all eat and drink together. Go right ahead, gentlemen. He was nailed to the cross for me. He was nailed to the cross for me. On the cross, crucified for me, He died. He was nailed to the cross for me. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It cleanses white as snow. Now just, it might help you just close your eyes. Come face to face before the Master. Let God turn on the searchlight of the Holy Spirit and see, Lord, like the psalmist said, see if there be any iniquity in me. Let Him search your mind, your heart, your spirit, your motives, the whole being. And just give up to God. Say, yes, Lord, yes. And if He'll even, I hate to use this term, if you have to go to someone else and it's impossible to make something right, and God's going to say, Lord, I'll do that, so bless me on credit tonight. You can trust me, Lord. And then that body, the bread, receive resurrection and life and healing streams of Calvary. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. Jesus, You said, I'm the bread that comes down from heaven. And if you'll eat this bread, you'll never die. Give us supernatural strength. Renew our youth as the eagles, as Thou hast promised. They that wait on the Lord, He'll renew their strength, renew our strength. They'll mount up on wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary, walk and not faint. And we thank Thee for the bruised, broken body symbolized by this bread shall we eat together. The literal blood of Jesus Christ is in the heaven. Hebrews said that angels evidently caught the blood. And it said Christ went through the heavens in His ascension with His own blood. Type and antitype, He offered that blood at the mercy seat of God. If you don't believe in the blood and ashamed of it, no way you can be saved. That sinless, incorruptible, precious blood of Christ is still alive in heaven. If it were possible for atomic telescopes to be taken, and to that altar where the blood was poured out, take a little speck of that blood, and scientists would scream, my God, this blood is alive. It's never lost its power. It is incorruptible blood. That means it's alive forevermore. We thank you, Christ, Lord Jesus, for shedding your blood for the remission of our sins and my sin, each one of us. And we thank you, you conquered death, hell, and the grave, and ever live to make intercession for us. We believe these truths. If there be any dross, cleanse now. May the precious blood of Christ remove every doubt, every fear, every sin. Shall we drink together? Pass your cups to the end of the aisle, please. It would help. Right hurriedly. Yes. To the center aisle, please. Amen. All right.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Happy New Year! The greatest year of your life is right ahead with the presence and the power of God. We'll be overcomers. Nothing will stand before us. We're on the winning side. This is the year of triumph. This is the year of victory in the name of the Lord. We're more than conquerors in Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Well, Happy New Year. See you at the next camp meeting. Crunch up whatever's in the kitchen. Because when we turn the lights out and lock the doors, we won't open again until Sunday morning.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you all. This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.